The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. The scripture today is actually probably one of my favorites. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." Because with this, Peter is given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. If he binds, it is bound. If he looses, it is looses. And when we combine this with apostolic succession, so St. Peter, first pope, and in the church, in the Catholic Church, we have what's called apostolic succession. So in the same way that when Matthias was raised to the episcopate, to the level of apostle after Christ's resurrection by the apostles, we have the same thing happen again and again and again throughout history to every single bishop in the world, all the way down to today. It's apostolic succession. So the apostles first laid hands, kind of like ordination. That's exactly what we're doing. Not kind of, exactly like ordination when we see the episcopal ordination, the priestly ordination. The laying on of hands is something that's been continuous since the very beginning with all of the apostles. And so we have this understanding in the Catholic Church then that whoever has the seat of Peter has the keys. And we actually see this throughout our history. Prior to 1025, when the schism occurred between the East and the West, absolutely everyone in the church, when any of the churches, individual churches or dioceses or whatever, started arguing, trying to figure out who was right, instead of relying on their own understanding, they inevitably appealed to Rome, to Peter, to the seat of Peter. So they looked to Rome all the time. And so because they recognized that the keys were there, still there, held by whoever held the seat of Peter. And so in the Catholic Church, we still believe that the papacy has this role of binding and loosing. So Pope Francis, our current pontiff, Holy Father, he's the one that currently has that role. And a lot of times people think it's a role of power, something to be wielded over the people and all that stuff, and it's not. Pope Francis would tell you the same thing. It is very much a position of service, always of service. Every order in the church, from deacon to priest to bishop to cardinal to pope, it is not, I mean, it's hierarchical, but it's almost like an upside-down pyramid of service with the laity, the people of God, up at the top. And it's the role of every order to support those above it. And so Peter has a special title, the servant of the servants of God, because his role as Father, as the Holy Father, is to support us in whatever it is we are doing. That's why we see all these letters written by the apostles and by specifically Peter and Paul and John to all the early churches, because they were there to serve the church, to help them and to guide them and to lead them, but not from a position of power. There's a little story of Peter's execution, his martyrdom. At the time, I forget what Caesar they were under, but one of the people in charge in Rome, was Nero, I think, persecuting Christians heavily at that time. And so Peter was there during that entire time, barely staying alive, barely avoiding the authorities, so that he could continue to serve his people, to offer the Mass, to lead them, to teach them, to tell them more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Until finally the people were like, no, Peter, you need to leave. They're going to kill you. And so he finally relents and starts walking out of Rome. But when he gets to that gate, to the front gate of Rome, he sees Christ. Christ is carrying his cross, and he's walking back towards Rome. And with this vision that he had, he realized what he had to do. If Christ himself could not run away from his execution, neither could Peter. Neither can any of the popes. And so Peter turned back. He went back to his own death, his martyrdom. One of the interesting things about Peter's martyrdom was that he asked to be, and this is a story, I haven't done the historical research on it, but part of the story is that he asked to be crucified upside down because he did not have the same worthiness is the way that it's described in some of the readings, that he didn't believe himself worthy to be crucified with his head held high because he tried to leave. And there's a sense of humility there, a sense of love for his people, and a sense of really trying to imitate what it is our Lord has done for us, to suffer, because suffering is part of human life. Christians don't get to be exempt from it. One last thought, actually, I guess kind of reflection on this, is that if we look back to the foundations of Rome as a city, the ancient myth of Rome is that two brothers, Remus and Romulus, came down from the heavens as brothers and then founded the city of Rome on the seven hills or something like that. But then they departed this world as enemies. And today we celebrate two of our apostles who came into this world not as brothers but as enemies. Paul was putting to death every Christian he could find. But today we celebrate the fact that they went out of this world as brothers, as friends. And if this doesn't represent the entirety of the Christian life, I don't know what does.